to be valuable to our mission. Structures in church and the structures of our society and church have the potential for helping or hindering that mission. To be valuable to our mission, structures in church and society must be affirming and accepting of people and must promote justice and provide a certain amount of order. That is why seeking to make and reform structures is a part of our mission as church. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Happiness. October 30, 1994. Dear people whom God loves, happiness is something we all want. We make the mistake of trying to get happiness. We think that getting something will make us happy. I will be happy, I think, if I get a new car, if I get a new house, if I get married, if my children are successful, if I get this job. These things may be okay, but they will not make us happy. Happiness is the fruit of love. It cannot be acquired. I must learn to see myself as I really am and accept and love myself. I must learn to see others as they really are and accept and love them. When that happens, I will be happy. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Expectations. November 13, 1994. Dear people whom God loves, our expectations causes us a lot of pain. We expect people to act in a certain way. When they don't, we are upset and angry. We don't, and we are depressed. We grow up with the unrealistic expectation that people and things should be what we want them to be. We might ask ourselves the question, why are people and things supposed to be the way we want them to be? Underneath that question is the mistaken belief that we are the creator of the universe. This mistaken belief causes us much pain. It is good to let go of that belief. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Controlling Others. November 20, 1994. Dear people whom God loves. We all have good reasons for controlling people. It is for their own good. It is for the good of the church, the good of the country, the good of the family, the good of the business. Every dictator has good reasons for oppressing people. The examples are endless. Bending people to our will is rationalized by the good reasons we tell others and ourselves. I submit that it is all baloney. Our need to control is so great, we begin to believe the baloney ourselves. The greatest rationalization is that I am doing it for God. Ironically, the more we trust God, the less we will need to control. As we trust God more and more, the less need we have to be right, to have things our way, to be in charge. We need the control because our woundedness makes us unsure of ourselves at a deep level. Control gives us the pretense of security. When we place our trust in God who loves us as we are, we can begin to let go. Letting go relieves us of a terrible burden. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Clinging to People. December 11, 1994. Dear people whom God loves. When we cling to things, we lessen our ability to enjoy them. When we cling, we are worried about losing what we have. That fear lessens our joy. We cling to people and are possessive of them because of our wounds from previous rejections or abandonments. We cling not because we are bad, but because we expect at some level to be abandoned again. Our fear keeps us from enjoying the relationship. Our clinging can push the other away and cause the very thing we are afraid of. The irony is that only when we allow the other person to go or to stay do we truly have them. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Honesty. December 18, 1994. Dear people whom God loves. Honesty is, in my opinion, extremely rare. Most of us do fairly well at saying what we think is true. That kind of honesty is relatively common. There is a deeper honesty that almost no one has. I don't have it either. That honesty is being open to what is real and seeing things as they are. What we usually do is have our minds made up as to what reality is. accept those things that confirm what we already think, and deny the rest. We look through colored glasses. We don't see things as they really are, but only as they seem to be through our colored lenses. Here's another example. We are in the top room of a tower with a small window on each of the four sides. We look through only one window and tell ourselves that we see everything. We don't look through the other windows because we might have to change our mind. In fact, with our back to the rest of the room, we deny that there are any windows besides our own. This lack of honesty, this blindness, is a major reason why we are stubborn and are able to do very destructive things with great sincerity. We are so convinced of our rightness that we hurt people and think we are honoring God and truth. We think we are holy while doing very unholy things. We are most dangerous when we are convinced that we are right and good. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. A Christmas Message, December 25, 1994. Dear people whom God loves, imagine Mary holding baby Jesus in her arms, smiling and loving him. Now imagine that we are a little baby and God is holding us in her arms, smiling and loving us. That could be a helpful way to pray. That is a little image of the even greater depth of God's love for us. The only thing that God does is love, and that love will never end. Merry Christmas. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. To love God, love others. January 1, 1995. Dear people whom God loves, we are all members of one body. When one member suffers, all suffer as one. We are reminded of this truth by the Apostle Paul in the early years of Christianity. It is a truth that is hard for us to grasp. The prevailing view today is that if it doesn't hurt me, it is not my concern. We take this disinterested stance not because we are bad, but because we don't really see our connection with one another. When I am unconcerned about what affects other people, I actually hurt myself. We are made in the image of God, who is love. Only to the degree that I become a lover do I reach the fullness of my humanity. Only to the degree that I am moving toward that fullness can I be happy. I may have lots of things and pleasures, but I will not have deep happiness. My happiness depends on the giving of myself. When others are in need, and I do not respond to that need in a way that is possible for me, I diminish myself. When I separate myself from some type or segment of human beings, I diminish myself. The only way to love God is to love people. To love people just because they are human, and not because they are a certain kind of person. That is why, when we separate ourselves from a class of people, we separate ourselves from our deepest self, wherein God lives. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. The Addiction of Control, January 22, 1995. Dear people whom God loves, our need for control is so great that we use it even when it harms our goals. We recognize our addictions to alcohol and other substances. We seldom see that our need for control is an addiction. St. Francis de Sales reminds us that we can catch a lot more flies with a spoonful of honey than with a whole barrel full of vinegar. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Feelings of Hate, February 12, 1995. Dear people whom God loves, feelings of hate are natural, human, and give us information about ourselves. When we cling to these feelings, they eat out our insides and destroy us. When I cling to and am absorbed by my feelings of hate, I hurt myself more than I hurt the one I hate. Feelings of hate are not the same as hating. Feeling hate is wanting to do harm to another. Hating is choosing to do the harm. We may believe that feeling hate means we are bad. That is not true. Feelings of hate are the natural result of believing that someone is harming us or someone we love. We want to hurt them back. We are all capable of hate. If someone raped and mutilated your little girl, what would you feel toward that person? What would you like to do in return? It is important to acknowledge that we feel hate and are capable of hate. It is damaging to pretend that we don't have that ugly capability. At some point, by the grace of God, we must let go of the hate. If we don't let go of the hate, we are tied to the person we hate, and they greatly influence our lives. Our lives, in a way, are determined by them. In this state, our own human and spiritual growth stagnates and indeed declines. I find this letting go extremely difficult. I sometimes am helped when I reflect that I am the same person as the person I hate. They are wounded and twisted like I am. Our wounds may not be identical. Our twistedness may not be exactly the same, but we are not that different. I sin too. I cannot say that others are greater sinners. Had I walked in their shoes from the moment of conception, I probably would have done what they did. They need the mercy of God. So do I. God loves us both. These words were easy to write, but are so hard to live. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Faulty Beliefs. February 26, 1995. Dear people whom God loves, many of my problems and frustrations come because I don't change the way I look at things. For example, if I have an underlying belief that people should do things the way I want them to, I will be angry a lot. People will not always do what I want, so I will be upset. I can ask myself, why should others act the way I want them to? They don't have to do that any more than I have to act the way they want. Once I change that underlying expectation of mine, I will be much happier and much easier to get along with. Many times what needs changing is not our situations, but our faulty underlying beliefs. This is hard because we learned them when we were young and don't realize that they are faulty. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Ups and Downs of Life. April 9, 1995. Dear people whom God loves, the life of Jesus remembered during Holy Week is a symbol of what our lives are like. Our lives are up and down. Some of us have more downs than ups, others more ups than downs. This is remembered in the events of Palm Sunday through Good Friday. The part that is difficult to keep in mind is that in the end, God will bring all of us to full growth and happiness. We can experience some of that in this life, but it doesn't become complete until after we die. The resurrection is God telling us that this is true. Jesus had trouble with this also. With Jesus we say, my God, why have you abandoned me? With Jesus we also want to say, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Am I holy? April 30, 1995. Dear people whom God loves, one of the silliest questions we can ask ourselves is, am I holy? When I wonder whether or not I am holy, it means that I haven't caught on. I just don't get it. The fact that I have asked myself that question tells a lot about me. Trying to become holy doesn't work. If I strive to be holy, what I end up with will not be holiness, but likely an ego trip. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Religion and Church. May 7, 1995. Dear people whom God loves, when religion and church open us up to God, they are wonderful. When religion and church are ends in themselves, they are destructive. When we are open to God, we gradually see ourselves more and more honestly. We see the darkness and sin within us. This allows us to grow in compassion for ourselves and to value the beautiful persons we are. When we are open to God, we gradually see other people more and more honestly. We become compassionate toward them in their darkness and sin and value the beautiful people they are. When religion and church are ends in themselves, we become zealots. When religion and church open us up to God, we become lovers. Smile, God loves you. Father Clay. Letting God In. May 21, 1995. Dear people whom God loves, when we allow God to enter us, our minds broaden and our hearts deepen. Yet we church people are often narrow-minded and mean-spirited, maybe because we get into religion and church and not into God. Smile, God loves you. Father Clay. Money's Proper Place, May 28, 1995. Dear people whom God loves, money, money, money. So necessary, so valuable for doing good, and yet so easily destructive of human values. What place does money have in my life? How does it distort my values? Is money more important than my family? Is money more important to me than justice? We can be so good in other areas and yet be blinded by money. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus saw the potential for money to keep us from seeing through God's eyes, from seeing all people as our sisters and brothers. Smile, God loves you. Father Clay. Helping the Poor. June 4, 1995. Dear people whom God loves, I believe that balancing the federal budget is a good idea. I also believe that some of the plans for bringing this about do so at the expense of the poor and vulnerable of our country. Even from a self-interest point of view, this is foolish in the long run. This will intensify the gap between the rich and the poor, and the numbers of the poor and vulnerable will increase. The result will be an increase in unrest and violence. We need to spend money wisely and eliminate waste. We also need to spend money to help people get on their feet and to help those who are unable to make it on their own. Smile, God loves you. Father Clay. Healing Our Hate, June 11, 1995. Dear people whom God loves, hate is one of our strongest emotions. It can mobilize us and press us into action. It can fuel us for a lifetime. In a twisted sense, it can give meaning to our life. It results in great and long-lasting deeds, the problem being that they are destructive. The curious thing about hate is that we hurt ourselves more than we hurt the hated one. Hate poisons our life and turns us into bitter and lonely people. No wonder Jesus told us to love our enemies. Healing hate is touchy. Hate is of two kinds. The first is the emotion of hate. Under this emotion, we want to hurt someone and to hurt them badly. The thought of causing them pain brings us pleasure. The second kind of hating is in the will. This is choosing to hurt someone. The emotion turns into willful action. How about the healing? We may be able to choose not to turn our emotions of hate into action, but we are capable of doing this only to a limited degree. As long as the underlying emotion is not healed, harmful actions will always come out from time to time in an obvious or disguised form. The emotions must be healed. To do this, we need to acknowledge our feelings of hate. We must admit how dark and vicious they are. We must find ways to vent the hate in a non-destructive fashion. We must face the source of the hate and do something about it, if possible. We may face the hated one indirectly by writing an unmailed letter, seething with all the wrath, poison, and profanity we feel. We may face the hated one directly and confront them with what happened. Sometimes this is advisable and sometimes not. We open our hearts to God and let out the hated feelings as honestly as we can, believing that God loves us as we are and will help in the healing. It is important not to walk this terrifying journey alone. We need a trusted and wise friend or counselor. The journey is painful and difficult. Unless we make it, the hated one will continue to control our lives. Smile, God loves you, Father Clay. Finding Who We Really Are, June 18, 1995. Dear people whom God loves, it is so difficult to be honest with ourselves, to be aware of ourselves as we truly are. As wounded people, we build up images of who we think we are. Then we begin to believe they are true. We filter out all the things that say we are not like that image. We'll only let in those things confirming that the image is true. It is helpful in forming an accurate awareness of ourselves to listen to those who like us and those who don't. They both have something to say. When we think that we are noble and superior, our image needs to be brought down to earth. When we think we are bad and no good, our image needs to be raised up. I believe that when we become more aware of ourselves as we really are, we will at the same time see ourselves as good, lovable people who have serious flaws and many ugly things inside. Growth in this awareness is one way to describe the spiritual journey. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Truth and Perception, June 25, 1995. Dear people whom God loves, when I was in school and for a number of years into my priesthood, I thought that I could see things as they really are. I thought that what was in my mind corresponded to what was outside my mind. This had dangerous consequences. It led me to think that I was right and that other people ought to see things my way. It led me to think that people who disagreed with me were stupid. It led me to think that I could be absolutely certain. I was fortunate to begin to realize, and this was a slow process, that I didn't have the truth, and neither did anybody else. I began to realize that what I had in my mind was not the reality outside. It was the reality as my mind reworked it. Since we all have different minds and different experiences, we all rework reality somewhat differently. I began to realize that I was necessarily biased. The best I could do was to recognize my bias so that it didn't get too large. It is essential for those of us who are religious leaders to recognize this. Otherwise, we will speak as if we have absolute truth. And worse yet, we will think that we are doing God's will when we try to impose it on others. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Movie Review of Priest, July 2, 1995. Dear people whom God loves, I saw the movie Priest, and it was a great movie. I was moved to tears a number of times. The two main characters were a middle-aged straight priest, Matthew, and a young gay priest, Greg. These two priests made the spiritual journey of facing their demons and shadows. They didn't always do it successfully. I doubt that anyone does. But they did make the journey. This made them down-to-earth, compassionate people. There were three priests who were minor characters. They did not make the journey of facing their inner shadows. One was a bishop without compassion, who used people to advance his agenda. There was no concern for them as people. A second was an elderly priest turned bitter. The third was the most pitiable. He was late middle-aged. He was ice-cold, unbelievably self-righteous, with a psychological armor around him that allowed no feeling to enter from the outside or to be generated from within. Facing the darkness within is always a messy business, but without that journey, spiritual growth does not take place. Making the journey is risky. Not making it is even more dangerous. In a side plot, Greg is told by a 14-year-old girl that her father is sexually molesting her. Greg tries to get her to tell her mother or to give him permission to help her. She refuses. Greg is torn by his choice of either breaking the seal of confession or letting her remain in the abusive situation. This impossible choice tears him apart and makes him wrestle with God. I have read a few critical comments about priests saying that it was unbalanced and defamed the priesthood. Some of those commenting had not seen the movie. It was not a documentary that is supposed to give a balanced view of the priesthood. It was a movie about priests who made the journey to compassion and priests who didn't. Smile, God loves you. Father Clay. Dear people whom God loves, we are called to follow truth, not individual people. The essence of being Christian is to believe in Jesus, the historical person who lived almost 2,000 years ago, and to follow him. Other people can be an inspiration to us, but we don't follow them. We follow Jesus. Truth sometimes comes from places where we least expect it, from broken and wounded people. It is sometimes absent from places where we expect it, from wise and virtuous people. Early in his life, St. Augustine thought that when a person spoke with eloquence and beauty, what they said was true. To his dismay, he learned that that was not always so. After being disillusioned, he thought that when a person spoke with eloquence and beauty, what they said was false. Again, to his dismay, he learned that that was not always so. With that insight, he realized that both truth and falsehood can be spoken in eloquent or faulty ways. We don't follow our priest, our bishop, our pope, a charismatic leader, a saint, or anyone else. We only follow Jesus. All others will sometimes be a help and sometimes a hindrance. We do not believe in them. We believe in Jesus. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Truth in the Church, July 30, 1995. Dear people whom God loves, in the early days after ordination, I thought that as a priest I should have the answers to all of people's religious questions. I absorbed this attitude from my seminary training. It was commonly thought that the Catholic Church had the answers to everything. As a priest, I merely had to absorb these answers and give them out to people. Churches love to be right. In this, our church takes a back seat to no one. I used to think that the need to be right was a passion for truth. Only as I started to see all the dark shadows inside myself did I realize that the need was based on my own insecurity. I think there is a massive undercurrent of insecurity in our church. I think this is why we preach, teach, and cajole rather than dialogue. Passion for truth involves listening far more than talking. When truth is what we want, we will listen eagerly to the voices of others to catch the truth of what they say. I hope to be able to do this better than I do now. We desperately need intellectual honesty and humility as individuals and as a church. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Sexuality and Spirituality, August 6, 1995. Dear people whom God loves, sexuality and spirituality are intimately related. If one limps, the other limps. Spiritual growth is the maturing or integration of the whole person. We live in the world as sexual beings. If our sexuality is not integrated, we are not integrated. We are spirited bodies. We are flesh and blood people who seek ultimate meaning. We are embodied spirits. We seek ultimate meaning living in flesh and blood. When our sexuality is repressed or distorted, we diminish our ability to love. When we don't know ourselves sexually, we don't know who we are. By being female and male, we are an image of God. When men dominate women or women dominate men, we become destructive people. In our church, we have not yet come to terms with sexuality. This means that our spiritual vision is distorted. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. The Sexuality of Jesus, August 13, 1995. Dear people whom God loves, in the New Testament, the letter to the Hebrews says, "We have a high priest, Jesus, who was tempted in every way that we are, but did not sin." This reminds us that Jesus had the same sexual capacities that we do. It also reminds us that Jesus did not use his sexual powers in ways that were unloving, disrespectful, or irresponsible. We can be helped to see how we view sexuality by looking at how we feel about the question, was Jesus ever married? The scriptures don't tell us whether he was or wasn't. They are silent about it. We have a long tradition that assumes that he was never married. My point here is not to challenge the tradition. Jesus very well could have chosen not to marry. My point is, what is our reaction to the possibility that Jesus could have chosen to marry? Do we really believe in our guts that Jesus was fully human? Do we really believe that Jesus was a sexual human being? When we believe in our guts that Jesus was fully human, he was divine too, it can help our spiritual growth. It can help us to accept and value our sexuality. When our sexuality is shamed, it leads to destructive consequences. We will tend either to get into unhealthy and unloving sexual behavior or to repress our sexuality and become distant and uncompassionate people. Acceptance of our sexuality is essential for spiritual growth. Jesus embraced his humanness, which included his sexuality. We need to do the same. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay.